27. Wax sighed. This had just become a political matter rather than a jurisdictional one. Granted, the entire day had been heading that direction like a galloping stagecoach with no driver. He glanced at Marisey, who nodded. He should take the lead here. He stepped forward to meet the Lord Mayor of Bilming, Lord Gabe Entrone, a man that Wax had encountered on several occasions now, each more repulsive than the last. And that was saying something, since at their first interaction, Entrone had insulted Steris to her face. Gave had come up in the world, outgrowing his hometown of New Saren. 2 years ago, he'd landed in Bilming, at the very center of Outer City's politics, and had somehow proven himself to be the exact sort of person they wanted standing up to tyrannical Elendel. Today, he was dressed in formal wear and even checked his cufflinks as they entered, no doubt to show off the sparkling diamonds set into the wood. Slicked back black hair, a chin you could use to cut the tops off tin cans, and of course his characteristic smug smile. Lord Mayor of Bilming was an important position, probably the most important one outside of Elendel, which meant Wax had to be careful not to insult him. This would be a delicate conversation.
"Oi," Wayne said, sitting up. "Hey, Wax, somebody done sewn a sack of dicks together and made a person. It's even walking."
The room fell silent. Then Vendel snickered.
"Are you going to apologize for that, Ladrian?" Gabe asked.
"Oh," Wayne said, heaving himself to his feet. "It's Gabe Entrone. Sorry, Lord Mayor. I mistook you for something else. Though the resemblance, it's downright uncanny, it is."
"Wayne," Wax said.
"Yeah, boss?"
"Please stop helping."
"Got it."
Wax's and Entrone's eyes locked. Wax was certain the man had ties to the set. A partial explanation for his exceptional rise through Outer City's politics.
"So, here we are," Gave said, rubbing his hands together. "Waxillium Ladrian, the great lawman of the Ruffs, involved in an illegal operation in my city."
"We have jurisdiction here," Marisey said. "By the code..."
"Code 17 of the United Justice Act," Gave said. "We repealed that, you recall, 3 months ago."
"You can't repeal it," Wax said. "You don't have the authority."
"We don't have the authority," Entrone said, "to have a say in the policing of our own city. Why, that is an arrogant thing to assert, wouldn't you say, Captain Blantach?"
"It's technically true, Lord Mayor," she replied.
"Technically," he said, "one of those dirty maskers from the South could pass a law saying they have jurisdiction here, but what right would they have?"
He walked a circuit of the room and halted in front of Wax.
"They aren't one of our kind."
"I see what you're doing, Entrone," Wax said softly.
"Do you?"
he whispered, getting close enough that Wax could smell the mint on his breath. "Do you truly appreciate how delicious this is? You worked so hard to prevent that stupid bill from passing, and yet here you are in my hands. By our laws, you're a criminal, in violation of a dozen different codes. Your only fallback is to ignore our authority, the very thing you have spent months arguing that we deserve."
"I have you, Ladrian. You're mine."
"The governor will never stand for this," Marisey said.
Obviously, that was what Entrone wanted. He wanted Wax to go crawling back to Elendel for a pardon. And the supremacy bill? Well, by insisting Elendel had authority to override local authority, Wax would prove himself a hypocrite. That would give more fuel to the war between Elendel and the Outer Cities, exactly what this man wanted. Entrone smiled, showing no teeth, just two smug lips that would look so much better split and bloodied. Wax restrained himself with effort.
"Ruin, I hate this man," he thought.
"Perhaps," Vendel said, standing up, "you might be willing to listen to a higher authority, Lord Mayor."
The Chondra made his skin turn fully transparent, showing the bones underneath. The skull behind his face cracked and stuck together with sinew. It was an eerie sight, particularly since Vendel chose to leave the eyeballs normal, and they seemed to float in the jelly that his face had become.
"Ah," Entrone said, "one of the puppets. Look how it tries to frighten us, Captain Blentach."
Yes, Vendel said. "I'm an emissary and representative of Harmony."
"I'm not Pathian," Gave said with a wave of his hand. "Why should I care?"
"About God?" Vendel asked.
"Not my God," Gave replied. "My God is industry, progress, and the indomitability of the human soul. Not some priest who managed to slurp up some juice left by a long-dead entity."
"Oh, look, Captain Blentach, it pretends to be shocked by my words."
"He doesn't pretend," Wax said. "Vendel is a person like any of us, merely a little more malleable."
"Oh, Ladrian," Entrone said, then had the audacity to pat Wax on the arm. "So easily fooled. Chondra are animals, puppets. Why, they aren't even really alive. They're mistwraiths pretending to be people, and I fail to see how I'm to be intimidated by a talking piece of slime that—"
He trailed off as he noticed that Wayne, subtly, had edged up close to him.
"A piece of slime," Gave continued,
"Keep going," Wayne said, his eyes alarmingly wide. "Keep insulting my friends. Do it."
Entrone backed away, looking thoroughly unnerved.
"You have 1 hour," he said to Wax, "until I formally announce we're pressing charges. Either break out of here, and perhaps shoot some officers of the law, or call your governor and beg for his help. I'm having a radio box delivered to you."
He retreated in a rush, trying to watch Wayne at the same time. He ended up leaving Blentach behind.
"What a knob," Wayne said, dropping the creepy wide-eyed act.
"I apologize," Blentach said. "I'm afraid I had no choice but to call him." "It's fine, Blentach," Maracy said. "But you must understand. You can't throw us in prison, not without risking the fate of the entire basin. Please listen." "I'll see if I can work something out."
Blentach glanced over her shoulder and into the constabulary office.
"But this is out of my hands now, Combs. Next time, contact us before you run an operation in our city."
She withdrew, shutting the door, which had a small viewing window at the top. A moment later, a guard delivered a radio box, then lingered outside to keep an eye on them. Wax sighed, turning to the others. He wasn't about to trust a radio delivered into his hands by an enemy. Bendel's skin had returned to normal shades. The Chondra hesitated, then glanced at Wayne.
"Did you mean what you said? Am I actually your friend?"
"Sure," Wayne said. "I mean, you're the stuck-up one that we make fun of, but every crew needs one of those."
He pointed at Wax, then Maracy, then Vendel.
"Mine has 3, 5 if you include Steris, and she counts for 2. But you can never have too many."
"I see," Vendel said, scratching the side of his head.
"Point is," Wayne continued, "we can make fun of you because we like you. That's how it works. Anybody else does it, and we ram a dueling cane up a part of them that I can't mention because I'm working on my language."
"You are?" Maracy said.
"Yup. Renette keeps saying I need to watch what I say because there might be children around. Which is real strange, don't you think? Children are the ones who won't understand what I'm saying anyway, so why care if they hear?"
Wax turned to the door, his mind racing, trying to think of a way out of the current situation, but a part of him realized it was no use. He could walk out of here and ignore Entrone, but that would add another piece of wood to the fire, stoking civil war. Beyond that, could he continue to investigate in the city without being hounded by constables at every step? "How does the bomb factor into this?" Wax thought. "The talk of Ash Falls, my sister. What is really going on?" He might have a way to find answers. He felt inside his belt, which he'd recovered and refilled from his ammo stash, the large duffel he'd brought and hidden on top of a building. In his belt pouch, alongside the metal vials, he felt the earring Harmony had given him. And the other one, made of trellium. Damn it, he was going to have to at least try. He pulled the trellium earring out and slipped it into his ear. He felt a jolt and a disconnect, like the coach he was riding in had hit a bump, different from when he talked to Harmony. Then he felt drawn towards something powerful. A vibration ran through him, forceful, violent. He gasped, the room fuzzing around him. Immediately, a familiar voice pierced his mind like a spike to the brain.
Faster, I need this to work.
Telson. He was hearing his sister speak. He thought he could sense some of her surroundings. She was outside, no echo of a room.
Our time runs thin, she continued. The backup delivery device is too obvious, too easy to stop. I need the primary working. I need...
The voice hesitated. I sense something, she said, then stepped to the side. Her voice grew louder, focused on him.
Out with it! You fought my brother. I know that part already. It... Wait. Waxillium? Is that you? Ah, it is. I can sense you. Found yourself a trellium earring, did you? Clever. Your idea, or was it that god of yours?
Hello, Telson, he whispered. No use trying to lie. She could feel him as clearly as he felt her. He tried to summon some familial emotion, but right now he felt only haunted by that voice. It was an echo from a long-lost time, a time he'd left behind, but which wouldn't leave him.
So you're in Bilming, she sounded amused. Your arrival made a characteristic amount of noise. Good to see that nothing changes. You never could make anything useful of yourself unless you also made a huge mess for me.
Telson, he said softly, what are you doing?
What needs to be done, brother, as always.
I... What could he say? All of his objections felt hollow. You'll get millions killed? 6 years ago, she'd been willing to let her own people die to achieve her goals. She wouldn't care about the people of Ellendale. You'll betray our people? She'd been willing to betray him. You're playing with forces beyond your control. That was the sort of thing she liked, always dancing closer to the flame. What did he hope to accomplish? He should have thought this through. He knew better than to walk into the enemy's den without a plan.
Ah, Wax, Telson said in his mind. Still pretending, aren't you? Telling yourself that you're the hero? Where was that hero when our family needed him? Off playing in the roughs, running from real responsibility. I'll tell you what I'm doing, what needs to be done. This world and everyone on it is doomed unless I intervene, the same way I had to step up and lead after you ran off. You aren't the hero, Waxillium. You never were. You ran away like a child who can't stand the rules of the...
He pulled the earring out, breathing heavily.
Rusts. All these years later and she could still get to him. That had been a terrible idea. At least, he thought, I know she's actually what Harmony said, some kind of avatar for the enemy. And she's tense, urgent. She's on a deadline. She's worried, because I'm here in the city.
He considered what she'd been saying about a primary delivery device and a backup. He looked around the room, but the others didn't seem to have noticed what he'd done. They were lost in their own thoughts or problems, all but Vendel, who watched him keenly. Wax wiped his brow with his hand.
You mentioned help from Harmony?
He asked, his voice hoarse.
It's close.
Vendel turned, glancing at the door.
Oh, rather, I should say it's here. See for yourself.
Frowning, Wax stepped up to the door and peered through the observation window. The guard was staring toward the front doors of the building, where death had arrived.